And instead of Jesus hanging from the cross, they have the new Jesus called the Buddy Jesus. And he's pointing with the thumbs up going, hey, love you, babe, and winking. It's called the new Buddy, and he's got a big smile, you know, like a big, I mean, I'm talking a shiny Crest toothpaste smile. But he's got the beard, and he has the robes, and he's in the bare feet, and he has the long hair. But instead of hanging from the cross, he's doing the, yeah, you know, the two fingers, and he's winking and smiling. It's called Buddy, called Buddy Jesus. And this is the new way of updating the faith. There's nothing anti-Catholic about that, because those of us who lived through the late 60s and went through that whole new mass bit, and you guys who are Catholic know what I'm talking about with the guitar. We had guitars. You got to understand, I went through Latin mass as a kid. When I got into high school, a whole new Catholicism movement hit, and suddenly I'm walking into mass, there's a guy with a guitar. I gave my love a flower, you know, as the priest is consecrating the host, which is part of the Catholic Mass. For those of you who don't know, that means that he's turning the bread into Jesus' flesh. And like that. So they got Buddy Jesus, which wasn't all that nuts. Then a couple of angels that are trying to destroy the world, I guess. And the two funniest cats in this movie, Jay and Silent Bob, make a return appearance from Mallrats, which I'm going to go home and watch tonight. No, I haven't seen it. These cats are the funniest. This guy, this Jay, is the funniest guy in the movie, in the whole movie. I realize they're the comic relief, but they're also the two most compelling guys on the screen. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, not bad. And I forget who else was in this thing. What's the cat? Jason Lee was funny. Chris Rock was funny, but not as funny as this Jay guy. No way. Chris Rock was good, not as good as this guy. And the other guy, Jason Lee from Mallrats, funny dude. He plays a demon from hell. But this Jay and Silent Bob, worth the price of admission. You got to go see these two guys. You got to go see this flick. It just for a couple of laughs. And it takes a couple of things to the extreme, but there's nothing anti-Catholic about it. It's a silly, silly...
Buonasera. Vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino e devo inoltre annunciare che Mafia.
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Good evening. Let me make an announcement right off the bat. I appreciate you being with us. Yesterday afternoon, late yesterday afternoon, I decided to treat my wife to a jambalaya-style gumbo that I make with rice, with a very spicy sauce, with seafood, and with the attendant okra and some other things that you throw into it. I don't really know how to make it. It's Phil's version of jambalaya gumbo. In that, I put shellfish. I put shellfish such as scallops, and I put some mussels, and I put some clam, and I also put a little bit of salmon meat in it, and did a very nice thing that one might do with a cioppino. Isn't that true, Mike Schaefer, my Italian producer? A cioppino has that thing going on with the shellfish. I made that yesterday afternoon, and we had a nice, beautiful dinner of it, and instead of refrigerating it, I left it out all night. Again, so this morning, being stupid, which is essentially what I are, I went ahead and had another bowl of it because it tasted so good. As you know, you can't eat seafood that's been left at room temperature for very, very long. As a result of that, I've had a very serious gastrointestinal episode that is continuing. And right now, I'm going through one. So I want you all to know that I have to leave. I have to go to the men's room for a moment. I do not say this to be crude, I apologize immensely, but it was something that a mistake that I made. I want my local stations to understand that we're not going to a break. Please, network, do not go to a break. I have to go to the bathroom. Please forgive the theatrics. Oh, boy. Sorry. I really apologize. And there is absolutely nothing that you can do. And, again, my apologies. And I also would like to make an announcement right now, and I will say this as delicately as I possibly can. My father-in-law, Big Al, out in Palm Desert, always made the claim that one only needed to use, just moments ago, tried this. Which probably is one of the reasons why it took a little bit longer than I needed to. But my father-in-law, Big Al, made the comment once that one only needs to use two squares of toilet paper folded properly. And let me just give you the word now, Al. You're lying. I'm not just saying you're full of crap. You're lying to me. You are a liar. You can't use two squares of toilet paper folded properly. Because this was the claim that he made to Maria, and this is the claim that he has made to me in my presence. If you fold the toilet paper properly, you only need to use two squares. Well, I'm saying that not only is that bullcrap, that you're lying, and you said that just so I'd look like a clown trying to do it here about 2 minutes ago. Two squares folded properly. Now, if you ain't lying, and if you're telling the truth, this is some kind of a World War II generation thing. And I really mean this with great respect. This is back when, you know, you're either lying, Al, or you're filthy. You are either lying to me or you are filthy. So this is some kind of a World War II thing because the generation then, obviously, and we've well noted these the last few years especially. It's really interesting. 10, 12 years ago, it was the Vietnam guys that were getting thanked. Now, the real guys that really deserve our thanks, the World War II guys, we finally got around to thanking them, and half of them are dead, and the other half are using two squares of toilet paper. These poor guys, I mean, they might as well be dead. God, they smell like they're dead anyway. So anyway, I'm kidding. Understand that rationing was very prevalent, and people had to get by with what they could get by. And so, because of rationing, the federal government said,
and you all know that you could only use the two squares of toilet paper.
And these poor people were out there trying to do it. Oh, my God, I guess I have to use the two squares. Come on.
This is the federal government, Franklin Roosevelt speaking. Use the two squares, all right?
Well, Mr. President, are you using that?
I'm in a wheelchair. Don't give me a hard time. No chocolate, no gasoline, and by the way, use two squares of toilet paper.
What a fun time that was. No wonder those cats went hog wild when they came home and had 75 million babies and built barbecues and all that crap. They couldn't wait to get that convertible cranking and that 57 T-Bird, yeah. No gasoline, no chocolate, and you have to wipe your rear end with two small, thin squares of toilet paper. And back then, it probably was like wax paper, too. So consider this, it's not only just two squares, it's two squares of wax paper, which means all it does is smear it. Oh, man. That's rough. That's rough. It's the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
All right, man, what do you want to hear?
Monkey by Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, where are you calling from tonight?
Hickory, North Carolina.
Hickory, North Carolina. Okay. Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Monkey. What are you doing tonight?
Nothing nice, just watching, hearing your
watching
show.
Watching TV?
Huh.
What are you doing?
Hearing your show.
You doing any homework or anything?
Nope.
Really, man? Why not?
Not, just sitting back playing guitar.
Really? What album is that Monkey on?
I don't know. I've heard it on the radio, so I was...
Oh, hold on a minute. Is that
there, man? I don't know.
Mel Dawes, the guy wants to see a monkey?
Yes.
What album is that? Hold on for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Okay. The guy wants to see a monkey? What album is that on, man? Okay, man. We'll try and get it on for you. I'm going to try to find out what album that's on.
Okay, thanks.
Play me a tune on that guitar. What's it sound like?
I don't... I just kind of put it up right now. I'll just put it up.
You put your guitar up?
Yes.
Can you pull it down?
Yeah, I just put it away.
Well, is it acoustic or is it electric?
Electric.
What would it take, man, to plug it in? Hold on for a minute. What album's that on?
Huh?
He don't know what it sounds like. You can't plug that guitar in?
No, I'm tired. It's like it's upstairs in my room.
It's where?
It's upstairs. I don't feel like going upstairs or getting it.
Can't you take the phone upstairs?
No. I'm too tired. I just got off work and...
You just got off work and you just got done playing guitar?
Yeah. I can play, yeah.
What do you do for a job, man?
I work at Gap.
You work at the Gap?
Yeah.
What album's that on, man, that Monkey?
I really can't tell you.
Hold on for a minute. I'm trying to find out right now. You dig Ozzy?
Yes.
Do you like him with Sabbath?
Yes.
What album's that album on, man?
Don't know.
What's the name of the two, Monkey?
Yes.
What do you do with the Gap?
Sales.
He says he does sales at the Gap. He says he sells at the Gap. You like one of the guys that sell jeans?
Huh?
You sell jeans?
Yes.
Yeah. He sells jeans. How much?
40.
$40. Yeah. Where's the store at?
Belk's.
What? Where's it at?
Belk's in Hickory.
Is this the tune you want to hear, man? Listen to it. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
No, it ain't. Turn it off. I was just testing you, man. That ain't it.
It ain't?
No. How's it go, man? Hum it.
I don't know. I've heard it on...
You heard it on 95.7, right?
Yes.
Yeah, man. We got that, too. And just hum it, man, so I know what it is.
I don't think it says monkey. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I've only heard it two times.
All it does is sing monkey?
if this is it, man, all right?
All right.
Hold on for a minute.
No.
Is that it?
No.
That ain't it?
Nope. Guy works at the Gap. $40.
Where else you work?
That's it.
Where do you go to school?
Newton Carver High.
Newton Carver?
High.
Okay, hold on.
Goes to Newton Carver High, man.
How old are you, man?
16.
16. $40, Newton Carver High. Plays guitar, right. Go ahead.
This it?
That ain't Ozzy Osbourne.
That's what?
That's not Ozzy Osbourne.
No. Hold on, man.
Okay.
I'll get this.
Monkey by Ozzy Osbourne.
It's new. It just came out, I think.
Just come out?
Yeah.
When about, like last week or something?
I think so.
Last week.
Where are your parents?
They're in the bed, asleep.
Oh, yeah? What's your old man do?
Huh?
What's your dad do?
He works at Regal.
Is that what is that, like sportswear?
Yarn.
Yarn?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it?
No.
That ain't it. Man, that ain't it.
Nope.
That ain't it, man.
I know. Hold on for a minute, okay?
That ain't it, man. That ain't it. That's not it, man. No, man. You got to put the other...
Hold on for a minute, all right, man?
Okay, okay.
That ain't it. Hey, man. Hey, that ain't it. No. That's Jethro Tull, man. That ain't Ozzy Osbourne, man.
This is...
The hell, that's not even Ozzy Osbourne.
What the hell is that?
I'm oldie.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
What the hell is that, man? Is that it?
Nope.
That ain't it.
Well, what else you got?
Well, what do you want to hear, man? You want to hear Ozzy Osbourne? I'm coming out of my set here in about 2 minutes. What else do you want to hear?
Just put something off from Ozzy Osbourne. It'll be fine.
Any Ozzy Osbourne?
Yes.
Okay, hold on for a minute. What do you want to hear?
Anything, just put something on a light.
How about this, man? This is good, Ozzy.
Is that Ozzy Osbourne?
What?
Is that Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah, man.
Is that Ozzy Osbourne?
No, it's Uriah Heep. Is that good enough?
Yes.
All right, put on the Uriah Heep, man. Kid says it's all right. Hey, I get some jeans?
Huh?
Get some jeans?
You come to the store, you can.
Well, dude, I mean, what about... When I come to the store.
Yeah, yeah, you need to come to the store.
You hook me up?
You go to the store.
What kind of a discount?
No. You're not paying me.
Okay, man, here's your Ozzy Osbourne.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. This is a place I've never seen before, and I'll be
Ozzy Osbourne. Somewhere along the lonely road I had tried to find ya. Day after day on that windy road I had walked behind ya. Easy living, and I've been forgiven since you. This is Ozzy Osbourne. Here comes the good part. This is the Ozzy Osbourne Show. Somewhere along the lonely road I had tried to find you. Day after day on that windy road I had walked right behind you. Easy living, and I've been forgiven since you've taken your place in my heart.
本日はシル・ヘンドリーエアをご利用いただき誠にありがとうございます。この飛行機は地上3万フィートを飛行してまいります。また通信。
Well, I got a problem. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We made a jambalaya. I made a jambalaya, left at room temperature overnight. I had a little bit for breakfast this morning because sometimes I just go ahead and eat stuff like that, and it's sailing right through my system like Grant took Richmond. I have to excuse myself again. I apologize. I did not plan this. Pardon me. I'm awfully sorry, ladies and gentlemen. And I try to do what I can. Oh, I got a problem again. Excuse the theatrics. False alarm. Please forgive me. It's not that I feel so bad that I have to stay home from work. It's that I have a problem that I'm trying to deal with, and unfortunately, there's no other way to deal with it but by taking care of as it occurs. And I did not plan on it, and I'm embarrassed by it. And hold on for a minute, because here it goes again. Okay. As I was saying, I don't believe it. I'm all right. I made it. You gotta be kidding me. Okay, that's good. Oh, man. Maybe that apple. Well, the apple, it's not going to help. Huh? I'm eating an apple because they say that it's fiber. Of course, I don't need the fiber, do I? No. Excuse me. Got it. Let me say one other thing. As I mentioned last half hour, Al, that two squares of toilet paper, I don't know, good luck to you, man. Good luck to you. Because I will say this to you, and I say this with all candor and with all humility, I make a mitt out of that stuff. In other words, I probably go through a quarter of a roll per visit. It's got to be a quarter of a roll. And I wrap it around my hand like a mitt so that every part of my hand is covered. Now, Schaefer has told me that he makes a ball out of it, which I think is very inefficient. You just wad it up into a big ball. You got to turn that thing into a mitt, my man. But whatever you do, you ain't using two little thin pieces of paper, two thin squares, not going to work. You see, what you're doing is you're just taking it off the roll and rolling it up into a ball like a big wad of binder paper, like garbage paper or something. And then you're just, then you're right down there digging in. Four neatly folded squares is what Crozier uses. Four neatly folded squares? Are you high? Oh, at a time? What do you mean at a time? Then you go back for four more. Good God. Four? That's almost as bad as two. It is almost as bad as two. Two, four, you fold it, neatly folded? What, do you fold it into a triangle? How do you fold four squares of toilet paper? You fold it at the perforation so that it becomes one square, only it's four deep. And you're doing it like, what are you, Nurse Ratched, man? That sounds very clinical, you know?
I have four neatly folded squares, wipe my ass, and then return to whatever's on the Young and the Restless. That's right, four neatly folded squares, no need to use any more. Wipe your ass right good that way, yes you can. Four neatly folded squares, don't need for any more, don't make no never mind to me.
Four neatly folded squares, and if he needs more, he goes back for four more. Makes a clean wipe, huh? A nice clean swipe. Hold on for a minute. I'm going to try that. Forget it, man. There's not a chance. Not a chance that that works. Ain't a chance in hell. But again, we were mentioning that that was the whole World War II, the venerated World War II generation. Of course, they had to save things. And of course, these days, we just waste. I make a mitt out of it. There's Schaefer in there making a ball out of it. But my man Crozier here, four neatly folded squares. What are you going to do? I think that's crap.
What did I say? There's no way. Orson Welles, there's no known way to use four neatly folded squares of toilet paper to wipe your ass with. No known way in the English language to do that.
This is the Phil Henry Show, and I went with my wife to see The Insider this past weekend. And as a result of that, I quit smoking on Saturday. And let me tell you why. That's why I'm eating on the air. That's why I'm taking smoking withdrawal pills. That may be why I'm having repeated visits to the bathroom trying to use the two neatly folded, or in the case of Crozier, four neatly folded squares of toilet paper method. I've got these natural homeopathic pills that I'm taking. NatraBio relieves craving, relieves nervous tension, relieves irritability, helps detoxify. I don't know if you heard of the movie. It is called The Insider. And it's with Al Pacino, and it's with Russell Crowe, and it's about the entire whistleblowing episode that Dr. Jeffrey Wigan involved himself in letting the world know that Brown & Williamson, among other tobacco companies, the president of that company had perjured himself when he said he didn't believe that nicotine was addictive, and basically gave everybody the inside view of the tobacco companies, that they were manipulating nicotine, that they were utilizing reconstituted tobaccos, and they were doing everything they could to keep you hooked on cigarettes if you were a smoker. I have seen, as a cigarette smoker, I've seen every kind of shocking propaganda that they ever wanted to lay at my feet, and it never got me to quit. They could show me, and they really, I used to laugh at a lot of these public service announcements or public service brochures that I would see, or even doctors that I would talk to and say, do you know what a lung looks like when it's been, it doesn't bother me, man, yeah. And I would look at the people smoking out of the holes in the neck. I gotta give you a newsflash, never bothered me at all, never. You could show me a whole line of them cats. In fact, I'll sit down and have a cigarette with them if they're smoking out of that hole in their neck. It never bugged me. You know, they got the, hi, my name's Robbie. You know, that little box, I don't give a crap. And they would show you all the diseased livers, and they'd show you all the diseased internal organs, and they'd show you what an esophagus. Never, ever, none of that stuff fazed me at all. How can you believe me? Because I've been smoking since I was 14 years old. I'm 47 now. That's 33 years. 33 solid years, I don't care. However, I saw something on Saturday that changed my mind. In fact, what I saw on Saturday changed my mind so radically that I went home and I downloaded all kinds of meaningless crap off the internet to read over the weekend, and absolutely meaningless to anybody other than me. Report on policy aspects of the smoking and health situation in the United States, strictly confidential, made to the British government October 1964. I downloaded the transcript of the 60 Minutes interview that Mike Wallace did with this Jeffrey Wigand guy. And remember, the movie is about how 60 Minutes essentially would not put this interview on the air because they were afraid of being sued, and how one lone producer, played by Al Pacino, went out on a limb and tried to save this Jeffrey Wigand from further humiliation and further alienation by going to the New York Times and eventually the Wall Street Journal, whereby CBS was forced to air the interview. And it was a black eye to CBS because apparently 60 Minutes is the, that's the news magazine with all the guts. And they didn't show any guts then, and they left this guy spinning in the breeze, this very brave man, this Dr. Jeffrey Wigand, who came forward and said, look at, they're doing what's called impact boosting. They're putting more nicotine into the cigarettes. They're manipulating the cigarettes. They're manipulating the nicotine levels of the cigarettes to keep people hooked. And when I heard that, when I saw that and when I heard it, and you could say to me, well, gee, Phil, didn't you know this stuff was out in the news about 4 or 5 years ago? I don't know where I was. I was doing something else. I was having a cigar. When I heard that what they were essentially doing was making a chump out of me, where they were chumping me by screwing around with my cigarettes, or as the good doctor called it, a nicotine delivery system. That's what a cigarette is. That's all that a cigarette is to the tobacco companies, a nicotine delivery system. If they can get the nicotine in you, they got you. And then they'll further manipulate nicotine levels, increase them. Now they really get. When I heard that they were chumping me, it's one thing to give me a disease. I can take that. I can take having a hole in my throat, see? I can take having both my lungs rotting right out of my chest. What I can't take is getting chumped. See, up front, it'll give you cancer. I can deal with up front, can't you? Hey, Phil, you could get cancer. You could get throat cancer. Oh, okay, I'll deal with that. But when I heard these guys were suckering my ass with manipulating artificially the levels of nicotine and doing what they call impact boosting, which is utilizing ammonia to release more nicotine or something from the leaf, and using reconstituted tobaccos to increase the load of nicotine that you get so that when you come back and you smoke, you want an even more larger amount of nicotine, or what they called freebasing nicotine or crack nicotine, because it's the same damn thing that crack freaks do. They freebase that crap. Then I felt like the chump of a world, man, and I said, I'm going home. I ain't smoking another one of them suckers as long as I live, or at least for the next couple of hours. I did that on Saturday. I have not had a cigarette, actually, since Friday night, because I usually don't smoke in the morning anyway, and I would have come out of the theater and lit up, and that was as of Friday night. I haven't had a cigarette. And all it took wasn't disease, it wasn't a threat of cancer, is it what somebody was hosing me. Somebody was putting one over on me. They were screwing with my nicotine. They were screwing with me, you know? I guess, I felt like a jackass. And now I want to get back at them. They're not going to get my money anymore. They could have had me if it just would have been lung cancer. If you guys would have left the nicotine levels the way they were and were upfront about it, I probably would have gotten cancer in another 5-6 years. But because I found out that you chumped me, I quit. Thank you very much. It's been a hell of a ride. I'm going to tell you, I'll miss it, too. It's the Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to have a cigarette, figuratively speaking, in a moment. Phil Henry Show. So this movie, The Insider, with Pacino and Russell Crowe and Christopher Plummer plays Mike Wallace. And he does a very good job. The movie is really about two guys, it's in my opinion, because I said this to my wife during dinner while I was working on my sixth hour without a cigarette. So I was very exuberant, and I thought I had all the answers to life because my brain was discovering newfound oxygen that it heretofore had not known it existed. So I'm sitting there waxing philosophic, running off with a big fat mouth with spaghetti, kind of, you know, just a little bit of noodle coming down my face.
And another thing, honey, here's another idea that I had.
And you know how it is when somebody, after you go see a movie, someone's going to sit there and explain it to you. Let me tell you how it was and what I saw. You know what this film is really about. So that's me. And poor Maria, I mean, she'll say to me, no, I don't think it was like that. Oh, you must have it all wrong. You know, I dismiss her viewpoint as if she, like, she ain't seen a movie before since she met me. Anyway, I said, this movie, I think, dear, is about Jeffrey Wigan and Mike Wallace. Jeffrey Wigan went and did what he thought was right. He did his conscience. Mike Wallace chickened out. There you go. That's the two extremes of the movie. Mike Wallace, no guts, and this guy Wigan who had guts. And this guy Wigan, for his guts, by the way, got threatened. His family was threatened. He lost his job. They threatened to arrest him because he busted the gag order in Kentucky by going to Mississippi and talking to the grand jury down there. And generally had just a great time and was really rewarded by society for stepping up to the plate and saying, you know what, these guys are screwing around with your health. Mike Wallace, on the other hand, 80 years of age, many years a journalist, could have stood up and said, we need to air this. This is very important. It's important news. I, as a journalist, I stand behind this report. Now, he backed up the network when they said, well, we might get sued, left this guy to hang out to dry, protected his own 80-year-old wrinkled rear end, and in the process earned the disrespect of millions. Because when the word and the story finally hit the street, it didn't smell too good for CBS or for Mike Wallace. And here the guy is, and during the film, he says, he's talking to Pacino, who plays this Lowell Bergman. They're talking, and he says, don't you understand? I'm at closer to the end of my life than I am to the beginning. I need to be able to have a legacy that is great. How can I have a great legacy when I stand up to the network like this and something disastrous can happen? And I'm thinking, that's your legacy. Stand up to the network. You're Mike Wallace. You did all of these great things. What better topper to your career than to say to CBS, you know what, we're going to air this thing, and if you don't, we'll just bring the whole network down. Why not do that? But he couldn't. So I walked out of there feeling very self-sufficient and self-important. I said to my wife, that's what the movie's about, dear. It's about these two men, Wigan and Wallace, and blah, 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 blah. It was just a whole lot of blathering. It was a whole weekend of talking. But a good movie. I would go see it if I were you guys. In other words, it's a really good movie, so I know that it's probably not going to make more than, say, 30, 40 million. It's that good of a movie that it's probably going to stiff. Because it doesn't have any gunplay, it doesn't have any sex, there isn't any noticeable violence, there isn't one drop of blood that is shed, there is a lot of profanity, you'll like that, and there's a lot of Al Pacino shouting, which of course we all enjoy when we go see a Pacino movie. We want to hear him yell and scream, and he does. Not at first, takes about 3/4 of the movie, but he finally starts screaming toward the end. He starts screaming at Mike Wallace, this character, the Lowell Bergman character, starts screaming at them. And then he threatens to go to the New York Times. But it's shot by Michael Mann, who made Heat. And I know a lot of you knuckleheads out there say, I'm going to see that, man. Hell, he's the guy that made Heat. He had that shootout there, just like that North Hollywood thing. Well, I hate to tell you, man, there ain't no bullets flying in this one. But it's beautifully photographed. Diane Venora's in this, the same chick that was in Heat. And it's pretty good. It's better. It's more than pretty good. It's very, very good. But screw it. It made $6 million. It's probably going to go stink the joint out. And Dogma ain't doing too much better. It made like $8 million. Bone Collector, and what's that other piece of crap? Oh, let's not forget Pokemon. Oh, man. Or is it Pokemon? Or, well, who knows? The kids, man. Actually, the two younger ones are ape on that stuff. Catherine and Christopher are all over that. Pokemon Yellow, Pokemon Blue, the whole thing. Since Christmas. So I guess I'm going to have to go see that. No, I don't. They already saw it. Thank God. So that's my life. Excuse me while I have to hit the can again. I'm sorry. Pardon the theatrics.